You're listening to Succeed, Just Let Go, a podcast that'll change how you think and change your life. I'm Willie Horton and I'm a psychologist, been helping people change their lives since 1996, broadcasting from the French Alps, and delighted to have you along. Let's take this week's step in the right direction.
What do you want? What do you really, really want? Or perhaps, like some people I know, you want nothing. Now, people will say wanting nothing is against our very nature, against all nature, because all nature is constantly trying to improve itself. Even the seeds of a weed that fall between the cracks in a concrete path will try to reach up to the sun. It's against our very nature not to want to improve ourselves. And yet, if we want nothing, we are, to quote the 1997 song that no doubt you have heard being chanted at football matches and all manner of sporting events. I'm talking about Freed from Desire. Not going to sing it, not going to push you through that. Freed from desire, the actual words of that chorus are freed from desire, mind and body purified. Now, I know it's only a song, but sometimes pop culture, and I'm not 100% sure, by the way, if those two words go together, but sometimes pop culture can give us an insight into a different way of living, or perhaps a way of living. Because if I am consumed by desire, I'm not living the moment. Now, conventional wisdom, I'm absolutely 100% sure that those two words do not go together. Conventional wisdom would have it that we need to be striving for more all of the time. If we're not moving forward, we're stagnating, or worse, we're slipping backwards. If we don't want for more, we've kind of hung up our boots and settled for what we have. If we don't want more, we're putting up with what we have. And we talked about resilience a couple of weeks ago, and putting up with what you have actually means, in ordinary everyday experience of life, putting up with that to which you shouldn't have to put up, stuff that you shouldn't have to endure, like overbearing pressure at work, for example. We've talked about that at length. But as I said, this normally minded madness that we call conventional wisdom would have it that if you're not striving forward, you're moving backward or you have given up. What do you want? What do you really, really want? And if there is something that you do really want, something valuable that you really want, then how are you going to get it? And do you need a plan to get there? I said something valuable. So we're not talking about cars and jewelry and big houses and fancy holidays. We're not talking about material things. We're talking about what might be described and has been described in the past as a pearl of great price. Now, those words were actually used in a religious context to describe what was described in the same religious context as the kingdom of God. But maybe the kingdom of God is here. Maybe the good life, heaven, if I can use that word, is actually in the here and now, should we choose to open our eyes to experience it. Now, I'm not going to get all religious on you. I'm not even going to veer off into the spiritual, because people, generally speaking, confuse spirituality and religion. So we're not going to go there. As you know from all the back episodes of this podcast, everything here that we talk about is based in hard science. And more importantly, the experience of the people with whom I've worked for almost 30 years at this stage, and more particularly the experience of my online program owners of the Psychology of Success online program. And by the way, just as an aside, I have at the moment online a free training program, and it is actually free, stands on its own two feet, which will give you an insight into what the Psychology of Success is all about, or more particularly, the key components that, when we put them together, unlock the kind of life that could be and has been described by some online program owners as heaven on earth. Now, I haven't veered off topic because I asked you if there was something valuable that you wanted, how would you go about getting it? So let's explore what I mean by valuable. And I will draw on the experience of a number of online program owners in describing possibly the most valuable thing that any of us could have. Peace of mind. Now, peace of mind might be a colloquial phrase that people throw away. Peace of mind might be an everyday phrase that people really don't understand, because 96% of people on this planet have never experienced peace of mind, or perhaps have in a flash, an emotional moment, a moment of peak performance or a natural high. But generally speaking, the run of everybody's ordinary everyday life could not be described as peace of mind, or in fact could be described as perhaps one of the farthest points away from peace of mind, because people are stressed, people are anxious, people are worried, fearful, annoyed, angry, frustrated, you name it, they will choose that above peace of mind. Now, is it peculiar that I've used the word choice? Is anger a choice? Is frustration a choice? Is stress a choice? And the answer to all those questions is a resounding yes. You choose your mood. You choose your state of mind. If you're using your mind normally, your state of mind and mood are chosen automatically by what psychology calls the automatic pilot, based on what you are thinking. This is a really interesting thing from the perspective of psychology, because your thoughts create your mood, and your mood selects your thoughts. It's a vicious circle, and it's a vicious circle in which 96% of people are trapped, and they don't know it. If anxiety, fear, stress, anger, frustration, depression for that matter, are all choices, surely heaven on earth is a choice as well. Now, that may sound stupid to you. It may sound unrealistic. But then again, as we've said on a number of occasions recently, unrealistic is the jibe that the normal mind will throw at you to say, oh, forget what that fella's talking about, or forget wanting great things out of your life, or forget wanting heaven on earth in your life because it's totally unrealistic. What does it even mean? So let's keep things simple here. Peace of mind. A clear mind. A mind that is free from desire, but a mind that is free of all worry. A mind that is present, and a mind that actually appreciates, as a result of knowing, the wonder of living the moment. I've worked, as I said, with all kinds of people over the last 30 years, and we talked about some of them in a recent podcast when I talked about how people will move away from broken relationships or relationships that are damaging their health. We've actually talked about it in the context of resigning from your family. You may laugh at that one, but there are people that I know who have resigned from their family. Many people with whom I've worked have been suffering from depression, have been suffering from stress. Most of them have been suffering from stress. Some of them have suffered all manner of abuse. And some people who have suffered from abuse have, quite naturally, wanted to flee from that situation. And yet, when asked the question I asked at the beginning of this episode, what do you really, really want? People who are even suffering from abuse will tell me peace of mind. Because you could have been abused 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, and you still wouldn't be experiencing peace of mind as a result of something that happened in the past, as a result of which there is nothing you can actually do about it other than stop paying attention to the thoughts that relate to the experience that you had deep in the past. Again, we've actually covered that in the last episode where we talked about not looking back. And we also talked about not looking forward in the last episode as well, which leads me back to another question that I asked you a minute ago. If you want something really valuable in your life, that pearl of great price, how would you go about getting it? So back to one particular online program owner to which I want to refer. I'll refer to a few of them here, as I often do. This particular person found themselves in an abusive relationship. I mean, psychological abuse and physical abuse, serious physical abuse. And when we talked first, they talked about the choices that they had with regard to distancing themselves from the situation in which they found themselves and how difficult those choices might be by virtue of the fact that there were children involved in the abusive relationship. We talked a lot. We actually talked one-to-one. The person in question took the prescribed medicine, as everybody with whom I work does, to a greater or lesser extent, and those who take it to a lesser extent don't experience the benefits. Those who take it to a greater extent. The medicine in question is meditation, as distinct from medication. So this particular person was meditating regularly, and as a result of meditating for longer periods of time, began to experience clarity of mind. Now, clarity of mind is synonymous with peace of mind, because if my mind is completely clear, it means, first of all, I'm no longer paying attention to the thoughts that create anxiety, fear, worry, etc., etc. So suddenly I'm in a clear place, and suddenly I begin to experience the actual flat calm of complete peace of mind. It was in one of those lucid moments that this person said to me, "Actually, what I want most in my life is peace of mind, knowing that everybody who I love has peace of mind too." You might say to yourself, how does that work? Is that not unrealistic? But let me quote a long-standing client of mine who runs a rickety, broken-down production facility in South America where the wheels come off every day. This particular person runs that organization, and they tell me that they come into work every morning with the sole task, as the leader of the organization, of spreading the calm, as a result of which the rickety, broken-down facility runs like a dream, hums efficiently, and when the wheels do come off, the wheels are replaced efficiently because nobody's panicking because the calm has been spread. Let's go back to my friend in that difficult family situation. They told me that they wanted peace of mind and that they wanted peace of mind for all concerned. And that's all they wanted. Now, that is valuable. That really is valuable. If you could have peace of mind, your life would be altered beyond all recognition. So we talked about how the individual in question might attain this peace of mind. They asked me, did they need a plan, an action plan, to ensure that they moved forward in a way that in some way they could bring about this peace of mind for all concerned, whilst at the same time their thinking mind was saying to them, that's not going to happen. Look at what's happened up to now. Look at the mayhem in the family. Look at how you're suffering. That's not going to happen. That's totally unrealistic. And yet meditation calms and clears the mind and enables one to see clearly and, more to the point, spread the calm. A few months after a series of one-to-ones with this particular person, they told me by way of a Zoom that the abusive partner in that relationship had sat down one morning over breakfast and said, "I want to change. I think we should go to counselling. I think we could have together what we had together when we met first. And I think the kids would benefit and I think we'd all be happier. And I'm so sorry for all the things that I have done that I shouldn't have done. My client didn't have to do anything other than clear their mind. My client didn't have to do anything other than meditate to ensure their mind cleared and that they were at peace and spreading the calm throughout the family home and through the family relationship. All they had to do, in other words, was turn up and spread the calm. And the spreading of calm has an impact on those around us. We all know that mood is contagious. We all know that if we're sitting in a room with a couple of people and one of them yawns, we'll all yawn in the next couple of minutes because mood is contagious. And by the way, yawning is an evolutionary adaptation. It has nothing to do with being tired. We all know that if we're in a room with somebody who is what my wife would describe as an energy vampire, someone who will drag you down, everybody in the room will be dragged down quite quickly. In the same way as research from the 1930s shows that if you put a whole heap of grandfather clocks in a room together, the pendulums, actually technically, if we're being grammatically correct, pendula of the grandfather clocks will end up swinging together synchronistically in harmony to exactly the same beat. Now, and that's a mechanical thing. We'll come on to how our mood is actually contagious from a modern scientific perspective in just a minute. But the key point I want to make is that this particular client of mine, the online program owner, wanted peace of mind and wanted those they loved to have peace of mind too. The result of which was and continues to be years later, joy and peace of mind in that family, in the one-to-one relationship that they have with their partner, and the children have blossomed as a result as well. Of course they have, because the horror has been taken out of the equation. I use the word joy. We talked about something valuable earlier on that you might want in your life. We talked about a pearl of great price, heaven on earth, for want of any other expressions. You see, the problem is normal everyday language is lacking when it comes to explaining how people actually experience the natural high of peace of mind in the moment. And yet I know many people who not have experienced peace of mind in the moment. Daily, they are experiencing peace of mind moment to moment for most of the time every day. But I use the word joy. One online program owner describes how this peace of mind brings deep joy. Now, there are two words that do go together, unlike some of the stuff that we mentioned earlier on. And the really interesting thing is that when we experience deep joy on a daily basis, when we, as the University of Chicago would have it, when we flow, when we are experiencing peace of mind again and again and again, moment to moment, all of the things that are required, I'm loath to use the word need because we'd end up being needy and wanty for want of a better expression. All of the things that are required for a perfect life, perfect moments flowing moment to moment, come our way. And what I mean by that is they come our way synchronistically. We've talked about synchronicity before, synchronicity being opportunities that you recognize as being opportunities that will lead you forward, which is not the same as wanting more. We talked earlier on in this episode about how it is in our very nature that we strive to move forward. Now, striving is a horrible word because when we are at peace, when we're experiencing peace of mind, when we are in flow, when we are experiencing deep joy, there is no striving at all. Everything that we need for a perfect life flows. It comes to us. It comes to us because we attract it into our lives, because being present in our lives means that we are present. And when we are present, we have presence, and presence is attractive. It's the exact opposite of the energy vampire to which I referred a few minutes ago. All good things flow when we are in flow. And that is something worth not wanting or needing or striving for. That is something that is worth allowing yourself have in your everyday life. Which leads me to the other question that I asked. And my friend in those one-to-one conversations asked me the same question. If I want peace of mind, do I need an action plan to ensure that I get it? No, is the short answer. Planning is the tool of conventional wisdom. Two words that don't go together. Planning is the rubbish that the normal mind thinks it needs to enable it do things to get to where it thinks it wants to go. Everything is constrained in that sentence that I've just said. If I want things from a thinking mind point of view, I've immediately closed down the shutters on all that's best for me. Because now I'm using my thinking mind to say, well, this is what I think I want. I've immediately constrained myself. I've immediately boxed myself and locked down any insight that I might have to my real and true inner potential. Worse than that, I then say, not only do I think I want this, I know exactly how I'm going to get it. And, you know, somewhere else, whether it's in this week's video or reflection or whatever. And by the way, if you're not getting my weekly videos and reflections, and there's over 900 of them, they go all the way back to December 2008. If you're not getting those, you can go on willie-horton.com and sign up for those weekly videos, tips and reflections, and you'll have instant access to all the previous ones too. But I referred to the old joke in one of those comments recently. If you want to make God laugh, tell her your plans. I've never known a plan to work, even in the corporate world. And, you know, for the first 24, 25 years, I was working for myself, doing what we're talking about here. A lot of my work involved working with leadership teams who, at the outset, thought they needed plans to get to where they thought they wanted to go. Utter madness, utter madness. The minute a strategic plan was completed in a corporate environment, the world had changed, because the world is changing all of the time. The world is changing moment to moment. The real high flyers amongst the corporate clients that I had were people who had no plans. Now, by the way, they told the people working further down the organization that there was a plan. But that's because most people are normal, crazy people, and plans are used in the corporate and business world like a kind of glue that keeps all the normal, crazy people, the herd, jollying along more or less in the same direction. Now, we all know that that doesn't really work either. But, you know, they make the best of a bad lot and end up with a mediocre performance. But the people who really perform, high flyers in the business world, are people who have no plans, people who have what might be described as a vision. It's something we'll talk about at some other point in time, because that actually undersells the science behind how you'll get what you want if you see what it feels like when you get there. And I've chosen every single word in that sentence deliberately. And if you want, you can play it back. You actually should play it back. My friend asked me, do I need a plan to bring about this valuable thing that I really want in my life, this peace of mind? And my answer obviously was no. For a start, they were in a relationship with, at the time, an abusive partner. How are you going to plan a conversation with a second person? It takes two to tango in a conversation. It's like years ago when I would be going for interviews when I was young and not so impressionable. My mother would try to script what I was to say during the interview, and she would say, if they say this, you say that. And you get there and something different entirely happens. Curveballs are thrown in your direction, so you end up having a chat, as a result of which you end up getting a job because you're present. You can't script a conversation, so you can't plan a conversation. And if you want to bring about peace of mind in your own life and the lives of those you love, you cannot plan any of the things that will need to be done or said until the moment arrives. And obviously at that stage, the moment for planning is gone. But you don't need a plan in the moment. What you need to do is do what's right in the moment. Say what's right in the moment, even if you thought you mightn't get away with saying what is right, because it's only thinking that would get you to the point of thinking that you wouldn't get away with saying what is right. The key thing, the key message from this particular episode is that happiness is not wanting anything. Happiness is being freed from desire. And you're probably scratching your head, saying to yourself, happiness is kind of a flippant word, a bit like the joy word that I used earlier on. Who doesn't want to be happy? Who doesn't want to be joyful? Peace of mind sounds a bit nebulous. Who doesn't want to have a good night's sleep and have complete peace of mind, knowing that in the here and now, all is well? These are highly, I was going to say, desirable. These are things that we all should have in our lives because we deserve them. Maybe our upbringing suggested that we don't deserve all good things in our lives, but that's another day's work, which we've dealt with in other days' podcasts over the last 4 years. We deserve all good things in our lives, and all good things flow from peace of mind and the presence that peace of mind enables us not just experience, but spread to those around us. You will be freed from desire. Na 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 na, freed from desire. Oh God, sorry, I said I wouldn't sing it. You will be freed from desire when you sit down and allow your mind clear and experience the fact that there is nothing in your life that you don't have already that you could desire. We sit down, we meditate. We don't need to do anything else, because meditation restructures our brain. Meditation enables us to turn up and have that presence that I talked about a minute ago. Have the presence that has an impact on those around us. That impact comes at a subliminal level, at an energetic level, at the level of DNA, with those with whom we share DNA, like our children or our parents, for example. There's a whole science, the science of bioelectricity, behind how our flowing bioelectric energy affects the bioelectric energy of those around us. And you'll only be able to allow yourself flow if you've trained yourself to flow in a structured and disciplined way. That's what people in the online program learn. They learn a whole lot more, obviously, but that's one of the key things that people in my online program learn. How to allow themselves flow, how to allow their bioelectricity flow unimpeded. You see, the only thing that will impede your bioelectricity is you thinking all the nonsensical thoughts that lead to frustration and anger and all that bad stuff that we talked about earlier on. But I don't want to end this podcast episode on those negative notes. I want to impress upon you the importance of meditation and, in fact, the extent to which that discipline that meditation brings is really all you need, because everything flows from the restructured mind that meditation gives you. You don't need, having meditated, to figure out what you'll do next. You don't need to wonder how you should go about getting what you want. You don't need to forward plan, obviously we've covered that, about what you will do when you're presented with particular circumstances. You'll know what to do when any or every set of particular circumstances present themselves, because you'll be there. You'll be all there. You'll be experiencing peace of mind. You'll have the calm and clarity to enable you to do what you need to do effortlessly. Time will slow down for you. It's a really interesting one. It's a load of research in relation to that, because time is relative. Time will slow down for you, enabling you to do just what you need to do, not just effortlessly, but gracefully. And that kind of real action has one hell of an impact on people around you and leaves one heaven of an impression.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. To get involved, join me in my Facebook group, strangely. spin-off called To Succeed, Just Let Go. And for more information, visit www.willie-succeed.com.